En el nombre de un solo Dios, Creador, Redentor y Santificador. Amén. They have no wine. Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. Ay, no, 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 Jesus, no. That is not a response I would want to give my mother. Her response would likely be, Nene, I don't care about your hour. They have no wine. Today's gospel lesson is not really a story about scarcity. It is a story about abundance, lavish, even excessive. About 150 gallons of first-rate wine just to keep the party going. Where from our reading, we gather, many are already drunk. So I must acknowledge from the start, having a bit of struggle reconciling a biblical story about such extravagance with our current global reality of such severe scarcity in so many places. They have no wine. Mary's presence in this story, however, is what has been speaking most to me as I've prayed with this story for the past few days. She appears only twice in John's Gospel, in this passage about the wedding at Cana, and later on when she stands at the foot of the cross. These two brief appearances by Mary connect Jesus' first sign and his last breath. But through her pivotal role in this story, I can hold up the promise of God's abundance against scarcity and need. They have no wine, she says to Jesus. And I get it. It's a line that has daily incarnations in my prayer life. They have no clean water. They have no food. He has no money. Lord, she has no cure. God have mercy, they have no justice. My God, I have no more patience. It is the line I pray when I feel helpless and don't know what to do. It's the line I pray when I feel like all I have left in me is to insist on the power of telling God the truth as I see it in my daily prayer. They have no wine. This is the thing. I know this gospel lesson about Jesus turning water into wine reveals God's generous nature, and the miracle constitutes the first of seven signs of Jesus' divinity, and the event is the onset of the incarnate Word's public ministry. It is a beautiful epiphany story full of symbolism and eschatological significance and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I have no idea how to turn gallons of water into gallons of wine. Not that I think that is actually possible, but I do know how to do what Mary does. I am thankful that God has given me a well-trained tongue and the ability to speak up and say, something's up. Things are not okay. There is need here. They have no wine. So to me, Mary is the hero in this gospel story. And I will tell you why. In the ancient world, wedding feasts lasted 4 days. The host was expected to provide abundant food and drink for the duration of the festivities. To run out of wine early was a dishonor and a disgrace. Scholars have many opinions, of course they do, and interpretations about what Mary's connection to the bride and groom may have been. But no one really knows. And to me, the point is that she is one guest among many. And even amid celebration and distraction, she notices need. She perceives the likelihood of embarrassment and humiliation before Jesus does. They have no wine. So Mary notices need, and then she tells the right person. I'm sure most of you, if not all, know that stupid song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Well, she did know. She knows who her son is, and she is confident of his ability and his generosity to meet the need. So Mary notices need, she tells the right person, and then she persists. I don't get Jesus' initial reluctance to help when Mary first approaches him. Perhaps he is not too eager to begin the countdown to the crucifixion, which I can understand. But whatever the case may be, Mary isn't fazed by her son's reluctance. There is a problem right here, right now, and she insists on a change of plans. So Mary notices need. She tells the right person. She persists, and then she trusts. She doesn't set out any expectations. She doesn't tell Jesus what to do. See, that's where I usually go wrong. She offers no suggestions about what kind of wine they need. Mary trusts her son's loving, generous character, even when he initially shows reluctance. So Mary notices need. She tells the right person. She persists. She trusts. And then she invites obedience. "Do whatever he tells you," she says to the servants. There was no running water in the ancient world, and stone jars that could hold 20 to 30 gallons of water must have been huge and heavy. Thinking about how difficult the servant's task must have been reminds us of the committed abundance that alone makes faith possible. So in this gospel story, Mary acts as a catalyst, holding open the door for something to happen, the door to a new possibility, the door to a new life, the door of hope. She serves as a great example for all of us to notice need, to tell the right person, to persist, to trust. And sometimes we need to be the ones who obediently carry the stone jars and pour water, even when we can't even imagine that it will make a difference. And sometimes we need to be the chief steward, recognizing new wine and encouraging others to taste new life. They have no wine. Do whatever he tells you. May we live in the tension between these two lines that, illumined by God's word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory. We can keep human need before our eyes and tell God hard truths, even as we celebrate the abundance of God's love. Que así sea, en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Amén.